Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Are you ready?
I don't know what we're yelling about!
You have to be intelligent.
Coming from a man who once dyed his hair blue.
Oh, that was way harsh.
He's not afraid to tell you how it is.
It is my show.
Boom, boom, boom.
His favorite player of all time is Rob Mikowiak.
You gotta be baiting me.
Okay, we might have made that up. You're listening to Kevin Zepak.
Wheels come off the Joe Madden hippie van that they're riding around in.
On 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
Morning, everybody. Welcome on in. It's 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. I haven't heard that open in a really long time. Feels like it's been months. It has been months. I'm back, though. My name is Kevin Zepak. I'm here from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock this morning. I'm not really sure why. No, it's going to be fun. We got a lot of fun stuff planned here on the program. It is indeed Championship Sunday in the NFL. As it is often referred to as. You've got the Los Angeles Rams and the New Orleans Saints over in the NFC. You've got the New England Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs over in the AFC. Two really, really interesting games, and I want to talk a lot about both of them for a couple of different reasons. But first, I want to let you know what else we've got scheduled on the program today. We will talk to the Athletic's Cubs reporter, one of their many fine Cubs reporters at the Athletic. Patrick Mooney is going to come on the program at 8 o'clock. The Cubs convention has been going on downtown here in the city of Chicago over the past couple of days. And I don't know if I would say that there's a lot of news coming out of the convention in terms of, you know, signings or surprises or anything like that. But a lot of different notables that I'd like to get into both with Patrick Mooney and you yourself, the listener, if you'd like to get involved with that as well. Also at 8:20, we're going to talk to Arthur Arkish. In reference to some of those football games that I mentioned earlier, not some of them, both of them. There's only two, and we're going to talk about both of them with Arthur Arkish at 8:20. But up until then, we're going to, yes, open up these phone lines and get the text messages going as well if you're into that sort of thing. First of all, the phone number here, let's see if I remember it because it's been so damn long since I've hosted a show, and Eli Hershkovich is my producer, so not much has changed there in that regard, which is nice. You know, I like looking at you, and it's a nice comforting feeling. I don't want some other producer that I'm not familiar with in here. It's just, you know, I appreciate you easing me back into my comfort zone here as I get reacquainted with the old radio stick.
I dust off the open, you know, had to get ready to go. So it took a while, Kevin.
Did you remember where the open was in the vault and everything?
Yes. To be honest, I did. I've been waiting for this day for quite a long time.
Ah, right. No sarcasm there whatsoever. And once again, yes, I will give out this phone number, 312-644-6767. Is that still the phone number? Are we still good there?
Correct.
All right, one more time, 312-644-6767. 67011 is how you hurl a text message into this general vicinity. And if you're lucky, I just might read that text message on the air. I don't get into as many of the texts as, say, a Les Grobstein, for instance, who sometimes will go hours just scrolling the text line and just kind of reading anything that pops on there. I'm a little bit more
unique,
particular, I'm going to say. And I let that linger a little bit too long there, so long that you actually felt you had to hop in. I'm a little bit more particular about which text messages I'll read and which ones I won't read. But hey, you can give it a shot. 67011 is how you do that. You can also tweet us. You can tweet me personally at Kevbo _. You can tweet Eli, and you are
at Eli Hershkovich.
You're verified on Twitter, so you're kind of like a big wig. You should be hosting the show, really.
You still give me a hard time about that. I will never forget the morning, yeah. I think it was like 5 a.m., and you were just irate.
It was a nightmare. But I'm past it now. I've completely gone the other direction, and I've realized that Twitter verification means very little, and I don't care about it whatsoever. But you can tweet me at Kevbo _. You can tweet Eli at Eli Hershkovich, and we can interact that way as well. I will be talking a little bit about the Cubs and the Cubs convention as we proceed through the program here. I mentioned we will bring in Patrick Mooney at 8 o'clock, and there are a few things in particular I wanted to get into regarding the Cubs and their offseason, get into a little bit of the Tom Ricketts media tour that he went on this past week, basically defending the offseason that the Cubs have had and defending it in a couple of different ways. One, financially, and the apparent lack of action that the Cubs have been involved with in terms of free agency. I believe the only notable signing that they've made this season was Daniel Descalso, the utility infielder, formerly of the Cardinals and the Arizona Diamondbacks. And of course, they picked up the $20 million option on Cole Hamels as well. And I can understand a lot of Cub fans' frustrations with their lack of engagement with some of these high-ticket free agents. And frankly, in regards to Manny Machado, A.J. Pollock, of course, Bryce Harper, Dallas Keuchel, Craig Kimbrell, I mean, these are all-star caliber players we're talking about here, and there has been very little going in terms of, one, any of them signing anywhere, because clearly they're all still available, but there hasn't really been much smoke to make you think that there would be much fire in terms of interest either. So I want to get into that a little bit later, but first I do want to start off with these football games because a couple of very intriguing and interesting matchups here today in these conference title games for a few different reasons. One, and I just saw this actually this morning when I got in here and I was preparing for the show, Adam Schefter, of course your guy Eli, tweeted that it is youth versus experience at quarterback today as Patrick Mahomes, age 23, faces Tom Brady, age 41, and Jared Goff, age 24, opposes Drew Brees, who is 40 years old. These quarterback matchups are the two largest age gaps in conference championship history, and the past five games with the largest disparity were won by the older quarterback. I thought that was really interesting for a couple of reasons, and one of them was something I brought up on the Mully and Haw show a couple of days ago during the 5 at 5 when we were all going around talking about these games, making our picks and breaking it down the only way that we can. And I kind of came to the conclusion that, you know, we always bring in these narratives and it's the changing of the guard and it's old versus new. And could this be the last time we see Tom Brady in a conference title game or Drew Brees? Will he keep going on after this contract is up, and all of these other narratives? But when you actually hear it broken down like that in terms of the age discrepancy, and you look at all of the trends that you see there with the NFL, and it's not like the Patriots and the Saints have, you know, low scoring offenses. Certainly that's the opposite case for the Saints in particular. But you look at Los Angeles with their young head coach, you look at Kansas City with what Patrick Mahomes has been doing as their quarterback and all of the other weapons that Andy Reid has utilized there. And it's almost like it's the future of the NFL. And this is kind of what we're going to see going forward when you look at the Kansas City Chiefs in particular. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, who's probably going to be the MVP of the league, you would imagine so. I mean, you throw 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns, that's going to get you in the conversation, certainly. You know, he plays the quarterback position differently than maybe anybody that I've seen. Just not even just his athleticism, because we've seen fast mobile quarterbacks before, and it's not just the arm strength, because we've seen quarterbacks with big arms before. We had one here in Chicago for a while with Jay Cutler, your guy as well, Eli. But the thing with Patrick Mahomes is that he is able to do things instinctively that you just don't really see quarterbacks do very often. I mean, some of the tricks that he pulls out of his hat just kind of off the top of his head, really. Like I said, most of it is just instinctual, where he will make some kind of wonky looking sidearmed throw, or he will do a jump throw. He'll throw the ball with his left hand. We've seen him do pretty much anything in and outside of the pocket this season. And you contrast that with the Patriots, who have perhaps the greatest quarterback of all time, perhaps the greatest head coach of all time. And like I said, it's not like they're exactly a, you know, old school power running defense style team. You know, they will huck the ball a little bit as well. Maybe not as much as they were 4, 5, 6 years ago, and Brady was a little bit more in his prime, but he's certainly not past his prime or anything. Well, he maybe he's past his prime, but he's not past the point of, you know, still being one of the top quarterbacks in the league. And even he spoke to that after the game last week, when they absolutely obliterated the Chargers after the game. Brady made some interesting comments, something along the lines of, oh yeah, everybody was betting against us and everybody thinks we suck and nobody thinks we can win. That's a little much for me, because even though, yeah, sure, you know, people are on the Saints a little bit more this year, or the Chiefs or the Rams or even the Eagles when they were still in it, these kind of younger up-and-coming teams, nobody was really denigrating the Patriots to that degree. I mean, I think that's a little... It's hard to be the underdog when you've got so many Super Bowl rings and Vince Lombardi trophies in your awards cabinet. That really doesn't fly with me, but it is going to be really, really cool to see today. And by the way, you can listen to both of these games here on The Score today. I feel like I should have mentioned that before it was 7:10, but here we are. You can hear both Rams at Saints and Patriots at Chiefs today on The Score. Rams and Saints get started at 2 o'clock, Patriots Chiefs at 5:40 this evening. But every single year we hear about, you know, could this be the last run for Tom Brady? And is this new quarterback and this new team going to reign free over the AFC for the next decade or so? And I think this is the first year when you could really kind of feel that. And it's not just Mahomes and it's not just, you know, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and all of these weapons that Kansas City has. But it just kind of feels different to me. And maybe it is because at certain points this season, we haven't seen the Patriots look like perhaps the team that we're used to seeing. And I don't know if that's down to, you know, age. And we mentioned how much, you know, older and beat up Tom Brady is this year. But Rob Gronkowski certainly wasn't the same Gronk this season as he has been in the past either. So it's not surprising to see New England back in the AFC Championship game. But I think really tonight in Kansas City at Arrowhead, you could actually potentially finally see a changing of the guard over in that conference. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here. And like I said, Chiefs, Patriots, probably the main event of the day today. You've got all the star power. You've got, you know, the league MVP potentially in Patrick Mahomes. But I think the 2 o'clock game over in the NFC is just as intriguing. These two teams got together back in week 9. You may remember the Michael Thomas tribute to Joe Horn in that game where he pulled the cell phone out from the end zone. But New Orleans beat Los Angeles 45-35 back in week 9. So we've seen these two teams play each other before already once this season, although potentially a big part of that game in terms of Los Angeles. And while they don't exactly have the most dominant defense in the world, they've got a ton of talent back there. And they were without their big quarterback, Aqib Talib, back in week 9. So he's going to be back for today's game. That might restrict a little bit of what New Orleans wants to do in terms of hucking the ball around. And I don't know if it's just me, but, you know, New Orleans, despite the fact that they did win last week, they beat the Philadelphia Eagles, it wasn't the most convincing victory you've seen from the Saints so far this year. They started the game off really poorly. I think they were down, 14-0 early in that game. Philadelphia had the opportunity to come back late in that game, and maybe if it wasn't for Alshon Jeffrey and his quote-unquote best hands on earth, Philadelphia could have mounted a comeback in that game. And I thought New Orleans looked very vulnerable, more vulnerable perhaps than they've looked at home all season long. The thing with Los Angeles, though, with me is that, and this isn't just Jared Goff and this isn't just the LA Rams, but their home road splits are so drastic to me. It's almost like, and Goff in particular, you look at his quarterback rating, it's about a 30 percentage point discrepancy between his home and away quarterback rating. He needs to prove to me that he is able to travel and be the same kind of potentially franchise quarterback that everybody thinks he can be. He needs to be able to take that away from Los Angeles and be able to do it in a big spot, in a loud, hostile stadium. Today is going to be the opportunity for him. Once again, that game is at 2 o'clock today, Rams-Saints NFC title game. And over in the AFC, you've got Patriots-Chiefs at 5:40. Both of those games available here on 670 The Score. This hour on The Score, by the way, is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards. The phone number is 312-644-6767. You can send me a text message, 67011. We will be back very shortly with a little bit of audio I want to play from you regarding these football games, and then we will get back into texts, tweets, phone calls, all of these good things. My name is Kevin Zipak. I'm here on the Score until 9 o'clock this morning.
Well, you mentioned it, your eighth straight AFC Championship game, and it's a rematch against Kansas City. This time, though, in Arrowhead. What can we expect from that one?
It'll be a good game. They're a good team, and we played them earlier this year. You know, I know, you know, everyone thinks we suck and, you know, can't win any games, so we'll see. It'll be fun.
Welcome back on in, 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. My name's Kevin Zipak, here until 9 o'clock. My producer is Eli Herskovitz, and right there he played a cut from Thomas Edward Brady after the Patriots' victory last weekend over the Chargers. And, yeah, you heard Tom Brady there, kind of trying to play the underdog role. Reminder that this year the Patriots did go 11-5 and they won the AFC East again for like the 500th time. Not that the AFC East is the toughest division in football. It certainly is not. But, I mean, you won 11 games, dude. You've got six Super Bowl rings. You've got the greatest coach of all time. You are Tom Brady, for crying out loud. Do not try to play underdog. We understand that, yes, Kansas City are the sexy team right now. Everybody loves the long ball in baseball, and similarly in football, everybody loves when you've got a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes who can throw 50 touchdowns a year and throw for 5,000 yards. But just because the trend is kind of going toward Kansas City and these high-powered, you know, Arena League-style offenses does not make you the underdog, Tom Brady, and it does not make you easy to root for, because I'm pretty sure most people are sick of the New England Patriots and Boston in general. Just the whole area, you just take it. I've never been up there personally. I hear Boston's a nice little city, but you know, when you look at Celtics fans, Red Sox fans, Patriots fans, certainly it's kind of a gross bunch, and they've been so spoiled over the past couple of decades. It's just been absolutely insane how much success that the Celtics and the Patriots and the Red Sox have had, yet they still try to play this underdog card, and I just don't understand it whatsoever. You heard, I believe it was Bonnie Bernstein there, Tracy Wolfson, excuse me, interviewing Tom Brady, and she mentioned that this is going to be a rematch over in the AFC title game as well. Interesting that I think both of these games are rematches. I guess credit to the NFL schedule makers who knew that these were going to be good teams and you would want to see them play more than once. But in week six, the Patriots did defeat Kansas City by a score of 43-40. The caveat there is that that game was played in Foxborough. That was a home game for the Patriots. This one is going to be in Arrowhead, where the Chiefs, similarly to Los Angeles, and like I said, it's not just these teams. Most teams do play better at home. But I think the change in venue here specifically is going to be very interesting because the weather could potentially be a factor. I mean, it's really cold outside today. I don't know if anybody else has been out yet, but you've got wind chills around, -1, -3, around there. It was a really fun train ride in this morning, definitely. And you've kind of got that same climate going on in Kansas City. I wonder, perhaps, even though the Chiefs are the home team, if it is going to be that cold this evening in Kansas City, if that's going to hinder the ability for Patrick Mahomes and that Chiefs offense to move the ball the way that they like to move the ball and be able to throw it around as much as they like doing. Something to keep an eye on there in terms of the storylines. And as far as Brady playing that underdog role and me being a little bit peeved about it, technically the Chiefs are a 3-point favorite in this game today. But the general rule, and I know, Eli, you're a little bit more of a gambling aficionado than I am, basically you get 3 points for being at home, right? So the Chiefs being a 3-point favorite essentially means this game is a pick 'em, right? Is that how that works?
Yeah, basically on a neutral field, you would see, a pick 'em essentially. You're dead on.
Well, I'm often very correct. Thank you very much. So honestly, both of these games intriguing today for a lot of the same reasons, and I think that the storylines kind of just write themselves in terms of young versus old, Super Bowl champs versus up-and-comers, high-powered offenses all over pretty much, and I think today is really going to be a fun day of football, no question about it. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here. 312 texter, which is local. For your information, in the last 8 years, take out the division winner in each conference. The AFC East has the best record of any conference in football. I don't know how accurate that is. I'm not just going to believe it just because somebody texted in. Maybe if you could cite your source there, 312 texter, and show your work, I'd be more interested in believing that, because it's hard to believe. I'm not calling you a liar necessarily. I think that might be a little overwrought, but I can't really recall that many great Dolphins teams or Bills teams, or certainly not the Jets. The Jets are god awful. I mean, the Bills have had a couple playoff appearances. The Dolphins have been in there a couple times, but I don't believe that they have the best record of any conference in football. That just seems a little bit far fetched for me. One thing that the LA Rams have done this season, and they've done a great job of it, is running the ball. Certainly, when you've got Todd Gurley, who he himself is going to be a perennial MVP candidate just because of his talent and his importance to that Rams offense. But when he was banged up a little bit this season, they threw C.J. Anderson into the mix. And you may recall C.J. Anderson from his time in Denver, right? Thank you for nodding your head at me. And he is one of these, you know, short, round, bowling ball looking running backs, and he has just been absolutely nuts the past few weeks since he's been in there and got his opportunity. Not only earlier in the season when Gurley was actually injured, but he was playing so well filling in for Gurley that they've continued to utilize C.J. Anderson in this offense. And now, in addition to Gurley, the one of the top running backs in the league, you've kind of got this dual-headed running monster in the Los Angeles backfield, and that's going to take a ton of pressure off of their young quarterback. As much as, you know, Sean McVay likes to dial it up and huck the ball around, now they've got the ability with this dual-headed running back monster to control the clock, and that's something they're definitely going to need to be able to do in New Orleans today. I think that's been one aspect of the Rams' offense this year, and particularly, like I said, since Anderson has kind of reestablished himself as a big-time option. It's one of the things that has really helped him, and that's going to help a young quarterback come along very well. I'm interested to hear what people think in regards to these games. I know a lot of people still around here, Bears fans, are still a little bit, I guess, apprehensive to kind of get back all in football mode. I mean, that game against Philly a couple of weeks ago where the Bears lost, and we've been over that 100 million times, 100 million. It's not even a real number. We've been over it a lot, is what I'm trying to say, and I don't want to get into a Cody Parkey discussion or a Mitch Trubisky discussion or anything like that today. That's not what we're going to do. But given that that game was so emotional and it was such a massive gut punch to see the Bears eliminated in the fashion in which they were, I'm wondering if people have really been as excited as they usually are for the NFL playoffs. And
kicking toward the north end zone at Soldier
Field.
Three for three on the day. 10 seconds to go. Parkey lines it up. O'Donnell on one knee. Gives him a look. Extends his right arm. Scales sends it back. Placement made. Kick by Parkey from 43. And it hit the upright. It is no good.
Why'd you do that? I said I didn't want to relive that, Eli, and you had to do that. This is a Sunday morning. This is Championship Sunday, and you're doing this.
People got to get ready to go for church, man. You got to get those positive vibes going.
I'm not really sure that what you just played provides any positive vibes whatsoever. But one question I'm wondering here, and if you'd like to join in on this conversation, 312-644-6767 is the phone number, and 67011 is how you text in. Has the way that the Bears got knocked out of the playoffs so abruptly, and like I said, such an emotional game to just kind of have it all ripped away in that fashion, has the way that the Bears lost kind of hurt your enjoyment of these NFL playoffs anymore? Have you been able to watch some of these games and kind of get up for them the way that you normally would for the NFL playoffs? Because me, myself, you know, I'm a Bears fan. They're certainly not my favorite team in town. I'm certainly more of a baseball guy, and honestly, if I was ranking my enjoyment of the major sports leagues here, I would say Major League Baseball is my favorite, then the NBA, and then the NFL after that. But I do think that the NFL playoffs generally are the most enjoyable set of playoffs. And I think that for a few different reasons. One, in the NBA, I think there's just too many teams that get in. You got eight teams in each conference getting in. The same for the NHL, for that matter. I think it's just too many teams. And right off the bat, you've got these big, long, drawn-out seven-game series with too many gaps in between games and everything like that. I just think it's too much. And once you finally get down to, you know, the Western Conference Finals, that's when I really start to get into the NBA playoffs. But I just think the playoffs should be a little bit more of an exclusive club. So that's one thing I don't like about the NBA playoffs. In Major League Baseball, while baseball is my favorite sports, favorite sport, I don't really still, to this day, like the one-game wild card play-in. I just think that baseball is too much of a game where, you know, so many random weird occurrences can happen in just one game. I just think it's too small of a sample size there to put so much writing on that. And if you're a Cubs fan, you know, you probably agree with me at this point, given what happened between the Cubs and Colorado in the playoffs last season. I just think when you are playing 162 games over these, you know, 6 months of a season or however long it is, it's such an absolute drag. I don't know. What am I doing here? Drag? Thanks. Appreciate that. It's such an absolute slog. We'll go with that. It's a real slog. And for it to come down to one game, I think that's very flawed as well. But in terms of the NFL playoffs, one, you know, it's not like a series or anything like that. And it's certainly not completely like baseball, like I said, 162 games and then, oh, you're in the wild card game. It's one game. In the NFL, it's only a 16-game season. So these games matter more on an individual basis. So I don't mind a single elimination format in that regard. I mean, you're obviously not going to play a series between NFL teams. So I don't mind that. I do like that two teams get the byes as well. A lot of people have mostly Dustin over on the morning show, he wants to add teams to the NFL playoffs, and I think that's a really bad idea. I think that the more teams you add in the playoffs kind of waters it down a little bit, and I think that the NFL playoffs do it right. It's one of the few things that I do agree with the NFL in regards to how that operation is ran. 312-644-6767 is the phone number, 67011, how you text in. 773 texter says, I couldn't watch the playoffs last week, but I think I'm ready to watch today. And I think a lot of that is that both of these games today are really good matchups. It's like you can't really argue with one versus two in both conferences. That's kind of what you're aiming for. Let's get out to the phone lines here in Mishawaka. Well, I'm in Chicago. Jason's in Mishawaka, and Jason is on the score. Jason, morning, man. What's up?
Good morning, Kevin. What's going on, man?
A lot.
You know, as a Bears fan, I guess what makes it even more of a gut punch, like you had said, is as I'm watching, and I did watch last week, and I'm watching this week, but like as I'm watching the NFC playoffs last weekend, it just reminds you that like I've been saying like the last maybe month of the Bears season, like I thought they could have beat any team, and I thought they could have lost to any team. And I still feel that's the case here. Like what you saw last week in the NFC playoffs, nothing really impressed me to the point where I was sitting there going, oh, well, the Bears would have got their butt kicked in this game anyway. I was sitting there going, man, the Bears could have beat this team. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So like, it's one of those things that makes it kind of even worse. And obviously today, you know, we'll walk away and see if the Saints or the Rams clearly are dominant, then maybe I'll change my opinion. But at least going into today, after last week, I'm going, damn, you know, the Bears could have beaten any one of these four teams that played last weekend. So that's the bigger gut punch, I think, going into this weekend and moving on.
Yeah, absolutely. And appreciate the call, Jason. Thank you for checking in from Mishawaka. I would agree with you on that point. Obviously, last week you saw the Rams beat the Cowboys and you saw the Saints beat the Eagles. I agree with you 100%. I think that the Bears could have absolutely beaten any of those teams. Certainly New Orleans, who have been the favorite in the conference all season long, they didn't look anywhere near as sharp as they have over the course of the season. And it's weird to think that the bye might have affected them negatively in some way. I don't really buy into that, but I don't know what the other explanation would be in terms of Philadelphia nearly coming back and winning that game. Certainly the Rams are a good team, but they're one of these teams where until you finally like get to the top, it's hard for me to take you seriously as a legitimate contender. And the Rams didn't win a game in the playoffs last season. They beat a very flawed Cowboys team last week. Now, don't get me wrong, the LA Rams, no question, deserved everything that they did this season. You go 13-3, you deserve to be looked at as one of the favorites in the NFC, and you deserve that bye, but I don't think they absolutely set the world on fire versus Dallas like that either. So to your point, Jason, yeah, I think that that's definitely a big part of the remorse or the anguish that Bears fans are suffering throughout these NFL playoffs. But if you are out there and you're a Bears fan, I want to know if you feel a little bit better, if you're, you know, we're a couple weeks removed now and you do have these two pretty tasty matchups on deck today. I wonder if you can finally get over that now, get over the anguish and get back into football mode. This bottom of the hour here brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the Big Ten West and The Big Ten West Division and Holiday Bowl champions at Ryan Field this fall when they host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets on sale right now at NUSports.com. Eli puts a stat here on the screen. I can't read this because it cuts off. Saints have allowed second fewest yard. That's all I can see.
Yards per carry. So you were talking about the Rams' backfield and trying to control the clock, but the Saints' run defense has been pretty good all year.
The Saints' run defense has been good, and the Saints' defense in general this season has been well above what they generally, or what you may generally perceive as a Saints' defense. Of course, we know all about Drew Brees. He's going to the Hall of Fame. Michael Thomas is one of the best, three, four, five receivers in football. I mean, Kamara is absolutely unbelievable in the backfield. We know all about their weapons on offense, and that's pretty much perennially what they've been doing during this Peyton Brees era. That's Sean Payton, by the way, not Peyton Manning. During the Sean Payton, Drew Brees era, we've come to know the Saints for, you know, the Superdome, and it's loud, and they're going to throw the ball 50 times a game, and they're going to score a ton of points, and they're going to go for it on two, and this, that, and the third. But this year, one of the reasons why the Saints have been so much better all around is because the additions that they've made on their defense and their newfound intensity, I guess you could even say. And another thing I talked about on the Mully and Haw show this past week was the acquisition they made in their secondary of Eli Apple, formerly with the New York Giants, who, you know, coming out of Ohio State was a really regarded corner, and he struggled a little bit with the Giants since coming over here now to New Orleans. You know, he's gotten a new lease on his career. We always knew he had the talent, but I think whatever they've done here, and maybe it is the quality of players around him, that's going to make anybody better, but he's been a huge addition to the secondary for the Saints. And I think potentially today you could see Jared Goff, who is susceptible to throwing the ball away on the road a little bit. You might see Apple come out and have a big game today. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. This segment brought to you by Subway. Satisfy your steak-a-tite with Subway Restaurants' $3.99 6-inch steak and cheese. Hurry in this month only. January only at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. After a timeout here, I want to talk about a former Chief who could potentially be a former or a future Bear, and I want to see how you feel about this new story regarding Kareem Hunt. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. My name is Kevin Zipak. I'm here until 9 this morning on 670 The Score.
I talked to Kareem and completely wanted to know how he's doing. And we had a good conversation. And here's a kid that I spent a year coaching on offense. It's a tough situation. I wanted to see making sure that he's okay, but understanding, too, that, you know, the situation that that happened is unfortunate for everybody, and he knows that. So the only thing I cared about when I talked to him was literally his personal life, how he's doing.
Welcome back in to 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. My name's Kevin Zipak. I'm here until 9 o'clock this morning, and on the way in there, you heard the voice of Bears head coach Matt Nagy talking about former Kansas City Chiefs running back Kareem Hunt, who was released from that team earlier this season when video of him pushing and kicking a woman in a hotel room surfaced. And since Matt Nagy made those comments, what was it, last week, Eli, or Friday or Monday? When was that? You can't just nod. You got to say it.
Monday.
We're doing a radio show here. You can't just nod and expect people to know. Anyway, thank you. That was Bears head coach Matt Nagy from last week, we'll say, talking about Kareem Hunt. And I bring it back up today because, one, this was a quite a polarizing issue after Nagy made those comments for a couple of different reasons. One, I know Bears fans weren't exactly pleased with the production of Jordan Howard this season. And whether that's down to Howard or down to the play calling, I'm not sure, because he certainly wasn't utilized in the same way this season as he was the past couple of years. Of course, the Bears have Tariq Cohen, who is definitely going to take touches away from Howard. I mean, Cohen is one of the more dynamic players in the league, but I understand a lot of Bears fans not happy with Jordan Howard this season. And today, just this morning actually, on NFL.com, a score contributor, by the way, Ian Rappaport, you can hear him every week with the Bernstein and McKnight show. Rappaport came out with a story today saying that the Kareem Hunt investigation should be done by the start of free agency in March. So when the season ends, and you've kind of got that little down period after the Super Bowl, before free agency kicks up, during that period of time is when they're going to potentially, by the way it looks here, wrap up the investigation into Kareem Hunt. Now, I should mention that not only is the video readily available, if you want to go on your Google machine right now and type in Kareem Hunt video, you're going to be able to see him shove and kick a woman in a hotel room. That's out there. You can see it. It happened, and that's what caused the team, the Chiefs, to release him. But what you may not know is that there were two other incidents regarding Kareem Hunt that are also part of this investigation. Other violent incidents, one in a nightclub, I believe, and another unrelated incident to that. But we're not just talking about, you know, a one-time thing here with Kareem Hunt. This is a kid who's only been in the league for a couple of years, and he's already got a little bit of a rap sheet on him. So when Matt Nagy made those comments...
No pun intended.
Yeah, no pun intended whatsoever. When Matt Nagy made those comments, essentially, I don't want to say praising Kareem Hunt, but, you know, he was very, very cozy. He was talking a little cozy about Kareem Hunt. I wanted to check up on him, see how he's doing. Yeah, because that's the important thing here. How is Kareem Hunt doing after he kicked a woman? But he wants to see how Kareem Hunt's doing. You know, he's a good kid. I never had any problems with him in Kansas City, this, that, and the third. And some people didn't quite, you know, feel very good about that. And I was surprised to hear a lot of the reaction from our listeners and people that called in and people that texted that were all in favor of bringing Kareem Hunt into the Bears organization and you know, rejuvenating his career here under Matt Nagy, a guy that knows him well, and kicking Jordan Howard to the curb. And I just thought that was really interesting, is that there was very little pushback and apprehension from Bears fans who want to bring this guy in. The phone number, by the way, 312-644-6767, if you would want to weigh in on this topic here. And you may have a very different opinion than I do regarding Kareem Hunt and this whole, I guess, storyline, all the drama surrounding him. But I was very surprised to see how adamant that most people were regarding Kareem Hunt and wanting to bring him in. I understand you want to win football games, you want to improve the offense, you want to replace replaceable players and upgrade the positions. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Jordan Howard is a better running back than Kareem Hunt. I don't think that that's true. But I do think you need to focus on other things outside of just winning football games. There is a human and a, you know, a civilized element here that I don't think that many people are addressing perhaps as much as they should. I don't want to tell anybody what to think. That's not what I'm doing here. I don't want to do that whatsoever. I'm just saying that me, myself, as somebody who roots for the Bears and wants the Bears to do well, I also want to be able to root for a team with good guys on it. I mean, you look at somebody like Tariq Cohen, for instance, who I brought up earlier, as a fantastic player. He's going to the Pro Bowl this season. He's one of the most fun, exciting players in all of football to watch. And Cohen, also off the field, is a guy who gets involved with, you know, charities and extracurricular programs in the community, both here in Chicago and his hometown as well. So I want more guys like Tariq Cohen who are Pro Bowl caliber players on the field and also good dudes off the field as well. And I think you've got a lot of those guys on the Bears right now, currently. And if you bring in a guy like Kareem Hunt, who, like I said, very talented player. I mean, he led the league in yards as a rookie. So it's going to improve your offense, but I don't know if the cost and the PR hit and kind of the human element here is really worth the uptick in production that you're going to get from the running back position. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here. Josh is in Park Ridge. Morning, Josh. What's up?
Hey, how's it going today?
Great. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. Hey, so I would be against signing Kareem Hunt as the Bears. I think that what he did doesn't mean he doesn't deserve a second chance in life, but it does mean that he should not be given another chance in football. And I'd like to draw a parallel to the Cubs World Series championship. And I feel like the only blight on that whole season was the signing of Aroldis Chapman, pivotal to the win, but also with a similar background and issues. I look back on that and say that's the only thing I would do differently there. So I don't want that for the Bears either. And people deserve second chances in all types of situations. In the collective bargaining agreement, there's plenty of room, but this is a spot I don't think we should compromise.
Appreciate the call. Thank you very much for checking in, Josh, out in Park Ridge. And me, myself, I'm not a Cubs fan, but I've heard from a lot of people, and even at the time and now in hindsight and all of that, who were certainly unhappy with the acquisition of Aroldis Chapman back in 2016. And you've got a similar situation now with the Cubs and Addison Russell in a way. And we'll talk more about that at the top of the hour when we bring in Cubs beat writer from The Athletic, Patrick Mooney. But right now, in regards to Hunt, Josh, our previous caller, just said, yeah, I believe in second chances. I don't think one incident should completely, you know, forfeit a guy's ability to make a living, because that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm not saying Kareem Hunt should be banned from the NFL. I think he should be able to make a living, you know, when his suspension, whatever that is going to be. We really don't know what his suspension is going to be quite yet, because he was pretty much released immediately last season after the video came out of him kicking the woman. And there's going to be more punishment levied down by the league. So once the investigation comes to a close and free agency hits, and I'm sure teams will be interested in him, and they will be aware as well that there will be an additional suspension brought down upon Kareem Hunt. But like I said, I don't think he should be banned from the NFL. I just don't know if I want him to be a guy that I have to root for every Sunday. And just to reiterate one more time, it's not just the incident in the hotel in which there is video. This is the third such incident of violent conduct off the field for Kareem Hunt. That's a little bit of a pattern there. That's not just one incident where maybe, yeah, the guy was a little drunk and emotions running high and the woman might have said something to him. You can dance around it and try to rationalize it all you want, but the fact of the matter is that there are several incidents with Kareem Hunt, and as good of a football player as he is, you know, Matt Nagy talks about culture and Ryan Pace talks about culture and accountability and all of these things that you don't want to just be buzzwords. You want these things to actually mean something. And I think bringing in a guy with this much already on his resume, his bad resume, a rap sheet, like I said, I don't know how that's going to fly both with the culture of the team and with the Bears fan base. 312-644-6767. Tim is in Davenport, Iowa. Morning, Tim. What's up?
Morning. I'd like to make a comment on Hunt, and I'll be honest with you. I'm a Detroit Lions fan, and I'd be saying the same thing if this has happened to the Lions. I think, first off, I said, you don't bring a bad seed and try to plant it in the orchard that's growing great apples, because I feel that the players on the Bears who are playing by the rules and exhibiting themselves in the proper manner that represent the team, it's not fair to them to roll the dice and have them labeled in possibly the same category. The third thing is, I think that, you know, you almost have to look at it. It's like, I hate to say it this way, but it's like an illegal immigrant coming into the country that's with a gang or whatever, and he's doing it the shortcut. He's not doing it the right way. You know, let him show, let him find, let him sit for a year or two. He's a young man, and let's see if he can play by the rules and not get in trouble.
Appreciate the call. Thank you for checking in, Tim. I don't know what immigration has to do with Kareem Hunt, but I appreciate you checking in. Tom is in Peoria, Illinois, also wants to get in on this conversation. Tom, good morning. What's up?
Morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure.
So I'll just start off by saying, you know, when I saw the Chiefs cut him, I said, good for the Chiefs. You know, it's the right move. It's a high character move. Never really thought about him coming to the Bears. And then after the press conference, you know, it starts the wheels turning. And I'll be honest with you. You know, I kind of lose my moral character and I start thinking, man, I'd really want him on my football team because he is a dynamic player.
He is. Yeah.
You know, as much as I like Jordan Howard, sometimes, you know, especially this year, I watch him run. It looks like he's running through mud. And, you know, I feel like some of the holes that the offensive line made, almost any running back could have made some of those 40, 50-yard runs that he had. And thanks for having me on. I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Thank you very much for listening and checking in. Tom out in Peoria. It is not an easy conversation to have, and it's not an easy decision, I'm sure, for Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy to make. And I can understand, and, you know, we've got texts coming in as well, a lot of conflicting opinions on this. It's where do you draw the line here between trying to win football games or baseball games and trying to, you know, stand for something that's right? And there's such a gray line of what's right and what's wrong, especially nowadays. But, you know, it's very clear what's right and what's wrong. Kicking a woman is absolutely wrong. There's no gray area there whatsoever. When it's on videotape, and that's another thing that I don't really enjoy, that it seems like there has to be videotape of something for, you know, punishment to be levied down, but that's another topic. And, you know, we are out of time for this segment. We do have to take a break here, and we'll bring in Patrick Mooney at the top of the hour. He covers the Cubs for The Athletic. And I'll tie in some of this Kareem Hunt thing to the Addison Russell saga and how that's all breaking down for the Cubs as well. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. My name's Kevin Zipak. I'm here until 9 o'clock. Up next, Patrick Mooney from The Athletic. He's been at Cubs convention all weekend long. We'll talk to him about Addison Russell, about Tom Ricketts, about everything in the world of Cubdom. And that is up next here on 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.